All right, so let's dive in today with a situation that I think a lot of our listeners can probably relate to at least a little bit.
Okay.
Imagine you're, months into a purchase, you're making payments on a piece of land. Maybe even starting to, picture your future there.
Yeah.
And then suddenly something comes up, like a legal issue, a technicality that basically threatens to like totally derail the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
Right? And that feeling you get in the pit of your stomach when you realize, like, oh, this might not actually be mine after all.
Yeah.
That's kind of the territory that we're going to be exploring today as we kind of take a deep dive into this 1948 Louisiana Supreme Court case, Lemoyne v. LaCour.
Interesting.
Yeah. And what's interesting about this case is that it really highlights how Louisiana has this really distinct approach to real estate agreements,
Try.
which is, rooted in its civil law tradition,
Mm-hmm.
and, really emphasizes the importance of this specific form of the contract.
Hmm.
And that can have like really significant real-world consequences, which might be, totally different from what you might see in like a common law system.
Right. Yeah. For our listeners who, are mostly law students, they're going to find this case, I think, super fascinating because it really vividly illustrates that,
Right.
Louisiana takes the written word like so seriously when it comes to land.
Absolutely. And I think this case is really important for law students because it really touches on so many like core principles that they're learning about.
Yeah.
Obviously property law is a big one,
Of course.
but also things like civil procedure. Like how do you actually plead your case?
Right.
What kind of evidence can you actually use?
Exactly.
And it's also just a really good reminder that sometimes, these little details that you might think are insignificant, like a missing signature or like a vague description,
Oh, yeah.
can actually have a huge impact on the outcome of a case.
Absolutely.
So before we get too deep into like the legal stuff, can you kind of just set the scene for us a little bit?
Sure.
Like what exactly happened in this case?
Yeah, so basically you have Clifton Lemoyne, who believed he had like a verbal agreement to buy a 1 acre plot of land
Okay.
from Walter L. LaCour and his wife.
Okay.
And over about 9 months or so, Lemoyne, he made all these payments, like installment payments,
Wow.
totaling $315, which, back then,
Yeah.
yeah, a decent chunk of change.
Yeah.
And he had receipts for all these payments.
Okay.
But and this is a big, but these receipts were like super bare bones. They just said like payment on place.
Yeah, okay.
Nothing about, an address or boundaries or anything that would actually like specifically identify the land.
So basically nothing that would actually tie it to a real, like, legal description of the property.
Exactly. Yeah, you can already see where this might be headed, right?
Oh, yeah, that's a huge red flag for me already. So, like we were saying earlier, a verbal agreement, when you're talking about buying land,
Yeah.
that's like, this feels like a handshake deal.
Yeah, totally.
But legally speaking, Louisiana's not going to treat that the same way as like, if you were buying a used car from somebody.
Totally different.
If you don't have something in writing that very clearly lays out, what's being bought and sold and all the terms of the agreement,
Yeah.
it's going to be really hard to actually prove that that agreement even existed.
Absolutely.
So what happened when Lemoyne made that last payment?
Well, when he, went to get the actual deed, to formally transfer the ownership, the LaCours, they basically said no.
Oh, wow.
So naturally, Lemoyne, he goes to court,
Makes sense.
tries to, get them to either force the LaCours to, finalize the sale,
Right.
which is what we call specific performance,
Yeah.
basically making them stick to the agreement or at the very least, get his money back. And this is where we get to like the heart of the legal issue here.
Okay, so the big question is, in Louisiana, can a verbal agreement to sell land
Right.
actually be enforced if there's no written contract?
Exactly. And this is where we really get into Louisiana's civil code,
Nope.
which has, as we've said, like a very particular way of looking at these things.
Right.
And you'll notice a real emphasis on, these formal requirements for these kinds of deals.
Okay, so what does the civil code actually say about all of this?
Well, Article 2440 is pretty clear cut. It states that any sale of immovable property.
And for our listeners who might not be familiar with that term.
Sure, yeah. So immovable property basically means land and anything that's like permanently attached to it,
Okay.
like buildings and things like that.
So basically real estate.
Exactly. So
Got it.
Article 2440 says that all those sales have to be made either through what we call an authentic act,
Okay.
which is like a super formal document, prepared in front of a notary and witnesses,
Right.
or at the very least a private agreement. But it's got to be in writing and
Yeah.
signed by everyone involved.
So it sounds like Louisiana is a lot stricter about this than a lot of other places.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Like, I know in some common law jurisdictions, they have what's called the statute of frauds,
Right.
which, also says certain contracts have to be in writing. But it feels like Louisiana is taking a much more, formalistic approach here.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there.
So under this Article 2440, it sounds like just a plain old verbal agreement for land is basically a no-go.
Yeah, basically it's considered null, like legally it's like it never even happened.
Wow, so no matter what, if it's not in writing, it's just not enforceable.
Well, almost.
There's a but coming.
There's always a but, right?
Right, of course.
Law wouldn't be law without its exceptions.
Exactly. So what's the exception here?
So there's this other article, Article 2275,
Okay.
and it basically lays out like a very specific and limited way that a verbal sale could actually be enforced.
Okay, so it's not totally
Not
impossible.
totally, but it's a pretty narrow path.
All right, so what are these conditions? What has to happen for a verbal sale to actually hold up in court?
So there are two main things, right? First, the seller has to admit under oath that the sale actually happened.
So they have to basically confess.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, and what's the second thing?
The second thing is that there has to be clear evidence that the buyer actually took possession of the property.
Okay, so they have to be able to show that they were living there or using the land or something like that.
Exactly.
Okay, so bring it back to Lemoyne. He was making payments for 9 months,
Right.
and it seems like he was probably living on the property too,
Yeah, that's likely.
which, you could argue suggests some kind of delivery or possession.
Yeah, potentially.
But the problem is, and we talked about this earlier, is
Doctor?
there's no written agreement that actually describes the land he was buying.
Yeah, that's the big issue.
And when this case got to the Louisiana Supreme Court,
Right.
the justices writing the opinion really focused on that.
Yeah. Justice Hameter, he really emphasized how crucial those written formalities are.
Okay.
And you can really see how central this is to, Louisiana's whole legal approach to this stuff.
Okay, so what exactly was the court's reasoning here?
Well, basically, they said that because Lemoyne's receipts didn't even describe the property.
Right, they just said payment on place.
Exactly. They were basically useless.
Oh.
Like, they didn't meet the minimum requirements to be considered, a written basis for the sale under Article 2440.
Okay.
And because that written element was totally missing, the court said they couldn't even consider the exception in Article 2275.
Right, the one about the seller's confession.
Exactly, because there was nothing in writing to even prove what land was supposedly being
It's
sold.
like they needed that written description as a starting point.
It's like a catch-22. You need that written foundation before you can even try to use anything else to prove the agreement.
So it sounds like Lemoyne's argument for specific performance based on that verbal agreement and the receipts,
Yeah.
that was basically a no-go.
The Supreme Court shut it down.
So was that it for Lemoyne?
Well, not quite. Okay, there's another twist.
This is where it gets interesting.
Okay.
So the court, while they ruled against Lemoyne on that specific performance claim, they did something kind of unusual.
Okay.
They allowed him to amend his pleadings.
So basically, change his legal arguments.
Exactly.
Okay, and why did they do that?
Well, I think it shows that the court, even though they were upholding these strict rules about real estate contracts, they also wanted to make sure Lemoyne had a fair chance,
Okay.
to at least try and prove the verbal sale through that exception in Article 2275.
So they were giving him another opportunity.
Right. By letting him amend his petition, he could ask the court to basically question the liqueurs under oath.
Okay.
And if during that questioning the liqueurs admitted there was a verbal agreement,
Right.
and if Lemoyne could also show he'd taken possession of the property, then maybe, just maybe, the sale could be considered valid.
Okay, so it's like they were balancing those strict rules with the idea of fairness.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They were saying, look, we have these rules for a reason,
Right.
but we also want to make sure everyone has a chance to present their case.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good example of how procedural law can sometimes come into play,
Absolutely.
even in a case that's really focused on substantive law.
Definitely.
So for our listeners who, are still learning about all of this,
Right.
what's the big takeaway from Lemoyne v. LaCour?
I think the clearest message is that when you're dealing with real estate in Louisiana, those written formalities are not optional.
Yeah, you can't just rely on a handshake.
Definitely not. If you're selling land, you absolutely need a proper written contract.
And it needs to describe the property clearly.
Exactly. And this case really highlights why Article 2440 is so important. It's there to prevent these kinds of disputes and make sure everyone is clear about what's being bought and sold.
And what about that exception we talked about earlier?
Article 2275.
Well, it's important to remember that even if you meet those two requirements,
The seller's confession and the delivery.
even then, those receipts in the Lemoine case, they didn't even have enough information to allow for any other evidence.
Right.
So you really need at least a basic written description to even get your foot in the door.
Yeah, the court was very clear about that.
Absolutely.
So, looking beyond this specific case, what are some broader lessons that law students can take away from this?
Well, I think it's really important to understand how Louisiana's civil law tradition
Right.
is different from the common law systems that you see in a lot of other
All
states.
right.
Both approaches have their own rules about written contracts for things like land sales, but Louisiana tends to be much more strict about those written formalities.
So it's really important to know what system you're dealing with.
Exactly. Yeah, the rules can be completely different.
So something to keep in mind as they move forward in their legal careers.
Absolutely.
So one last thought for our listeners to chew on. You know, we live in a world now where you can record pretty much anything.
That's true.
Like a verbal agreement could easily be documented with a recording. So do you think that changes things at all?
That's a good question.
Like, should Louisiana rethink its strict adherence to written formalities?
I mean, it's definitely something to consider.
Yeah.
On the one hand, technology has changed a lot since 1948.
For sure.
But on the other hand, those formalities, they're there for a reason.
Right, to prevent disputes.
And to make sure these big transactions are handled clearly and fairly.
So it's really a question of balancing those interests.
Exactly. And that's something that, all of our listeners as future lawyers
Yeah.
will have to grapple with at some point in their careers.
Absolutely.
So something to think about.
Definitely. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Okay.
But as always, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Lemoine v. LaCour.
Yeah, this was a good one.
And we'll see you next time.